Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 2 this evening, the book of Luke, chapter 2. A few weeks ago, we are here, and we basically went over why Mary's chosen, how he was highly favored, and why she was highly favored. And so we spent a great deal of time on this, and tonight we're going to go back because we're celebrating Christmas this year, and we're going to in the next couple of days. And so I thought it'd be fitting tonight for us to go through the story once again and rehearse why we need to look at this story tonight. Let's have a word of prayer before I get going any further. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day that you've given us. I pray that you just watch over us, give us strength tonight as we go through your word. Lord, we ask that you just continue to be with the Rod family as they go through this difficult time in their lives. I pray that you just wrap your loving arms around them. Lord, we're grateful tonight that she is in your presence tonight. We're thankful for that. But God, I pray that you just watch over us. Continue to give our pastor and Mrs. Springer strength and healing in their bodies, and we ask you these things in your name. Amen. Let's begin reading in verse number 1 of chapter number 2 of Luke. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be tasked. And this tasking was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there is no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And that shall be a sign unto you, he shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. And it was told unto them." Here we read a great story about the miraculous birth of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I am thankful tonight that we have the privilege to be serving a living Savior in this world. I'm thankful for that. A lot of people don't understand that Jesus Christ is alive and that he wants to be a part of your life. So as we go through our Christmas season that we normally do every single year, we all have our traditions. We all will probably gather around in a big family room or wherever it may be. Some people, they rent a hall and things of that nature. And they begin to rehearse the story of Jesus. Not everybody does this, but a lot of folks begin to do these things. And I begin to reflect back on this time of the year because this year it can be very sentimental to people. That's just what normally happens during the time because you begin to think about loved ones who are no longer with you, that you're no longer able to celebrate these special occasions with. But I'm reminded tonight, even though we do get sad on those occasions, we do have a great hope that a lot of this world does not have. And the reason why they don't have this hope is because they have yet to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we have a hope that when somebody passes from this earth, we have a hope, knowing that when we pass as well, or the rapture happens, we will be with them forever with the Lord. And that is exciting when you begin to think about those things. But so often people begin to overlook the birth of Jesus Christ, why he truly came to this world. You know, we gather around and we pass out presents. It becomes chaotic in the house. And kids get excited about those things. And they're waiting for the time for them to get all their presents that they see their name upon. And as soon as they get it, they just rip open to those things. And most often, I've seen this happen on many occasions, most of the kids are not really excited about the gift that they're given, but they're more excited about the wrapper or the box that is in front of them. And, you know, that's kind of heartbreaking to some parents at times, because you're putting a lot of thought into this gift, and you think, man, my child's really going to love this, and you sacrifice some time away, maybe to earn some extra money so that you can afford it. And then when you finally afford it, you go out and purchase it, you wrap it up, and they're not too excited about it anymore, because they find out that the paper in the box is more fun. And that happens on many different occasions. I've come to realize in life that we need to treasure and cherish the gifts that are given to us because of the thought that is put into those things. I remember on several different occasions gathering around in our home while I was growing up. And again, you got to understand something. My childhood is my perspective on things. You know, my siblings don't necessarily remember the things that I remember, but this is how I remember things. And they might have a totally different outlook on what they remember. But I remember on several different occasions not knowing if Christmas would even exist on sometimes. But I can remember Mom and Dad always wanting to get us gifts. And I knew of the thought process that went behind there. I knew of the time that Mom and Dad would spend to go out and get these things. Not necessarily Dad, but he would drive her there, and obviously, but she would take the time to go to the stores and pick these things out. I remember one particular year I was excited because I wanted a walkie-talkie. And walkie-talkies, you know, when you're a young kid, they're a big thing. And how cool is it to have a walkie-talkie and somebody else to have it on the other end, and you can begin talking to them. And I remember one year that I was hoping I would get it. Mom doesn't know this, but Wayne, he helped me out in this area. He said, "Hey, Chad, why don't you sneak underneath the tree?" So I'm blaming it on Wayne. And so we were able to shake the box, and we're like, "Yeah, this might be a walkie-talkie." But I remember that thing taking place that particular year, and I got excited about that. We opened up the package, and sure enough, it was in there. But I wasn't near as excited because I felt as if I ruined the gift, because I snuck underneath the tree and I began to shake it, and I kind of knew what it was, and so it kind of lost its excitement. What happened in the next few days, which is what normally happens, my gift that I got somehow dropped out of my hand and ended up breaking. And that really, you know, was devastating to me. And I began to think about, man, my mom, she really put in some time about wanting to get this gift for me. And you're saying, "Well, Chad, why are you saying these things?" Because we are to treasure the gift that people give us. I'll never forget this year, or I shouldn't say the year because I don't know exactly the year, but I'll never forget a year that we had. And it's one year in particular that I know for a fact that my dad had his own hand in picking out a gift. And it was in this house over here, and I believe it was one of the first or second Christmases that we're over there. And we used to have our stocking caps, not stocking caps, but our whatever you call those things, stockings. And we would put those, we'd hang them up on the fireplace, and we'd stick little gifts in there. And I'll never forget one year, my dad, on his own, decided to put a box of Star chocolates in there. And I thought to myself, well, my dad never really gives gifts. It's usually Mom that's doing these things. You know, for the longest time, I could not open up that box of chocolates to eat it, because it was so, it meant so much to me, knowing that my dad took time out of his own personal life, his own schedule, and went on his own and purchased that box of chocolates. I will tell you this, when I finally opened up that box of chocolates, I savored every single one of them. And you say, why'd you savor every single one of them? Because I learned the importance of the gift that day from my father. And I began to cherish that, begin to treasure that. And we need to treasure the gift that God has given us. Well, who is that gift? That gift is Jesus Christ. And so often, Christmas is overlooked. We think it's about us getting together as families and exchanging gifts with one another. No, the reason why we're able to do these things is because of Jesus Christ himself. He plays a big role in that. And we need to treasure that that gift that God has given us. And we need to put value in that gift. And we need to be prideful of that gift. We need to boast about that gift. That's Jesus Christ. You know, there are a lot of people that knew about when the birth of Jesus was about ready to take place. There are some shepherds that were abiding in the field. And verse number 8, as we go on down through this, first we got to understand, Jesus wasn't born in any old necessary place. Places like you and I were born, most of us were born in hospitals, obviously. If you go way back, maybe they didn't make it to the hospital and born alongside the road or however that would have taken place. But Jesus here, he was born in a manger. And so often we have this picture of Jesus being born in a barn like what we'd see in Iowa and Nebraska. And that's not the case. Because when you go to Israel, as I told you before, there's nothing but rocks there. The manger is actually carved out into the side of the mountains. You know, it's just a lowly old place where Jesus was born. Think about that for a second. He left his throne above. He left his father to come into a place where animals would roam, where it would not be so pleasant to be around, the stench that is in there, the filth that surrounds those places. That's where he ended up being born, so that you and I could have eternal life with him. And I'm thankful that he did those things. So he left his kingdom to come to this world for you and I. So along the way, as we begin in verse number 8, it says, and they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And since I've been able to have this actual vision in my mind, because I've actually seen shepherds in Israel and how they would begin to shepherd their sheep, it's very, it's eye-opening. Because when we begin to think about a shepherd, we begin to think again in our own mind, in our own eyes, that, okay, they're just out in this prairie. They're out in these fields. They got abundance of grass. They got abundance of trees to give them shelter. They got an abundance of water supply to give them the water that they need to live. But as I begin to see this take place in my own life, I begin to see the rough terrain that these shepherds had to be on for their sheep in the fields. And they're on cliffs. The best way to describe it would be for you folks who have been to Costa Rica, where you actually went out to the coffee fields. I've seen some pictures of the coffee fields in Costa Rica, and they're not on flat ground. It's very steep. And you got men and women and children who would go out there and they would pick the coffee beans. Well, these were the type of the fields that the shepherds had. And it wasn't just a job where you can sit back and just relax. No, it was a job where they literally had to watch their sheep in the nighttime. Because in the nighttime, that's when the animals would come forth and the wolves, they'd want to take them by surprise and capture them and eat them. But these shepherds, they were out here working at the nighttime watching their flock. And here's an interesting thing that takes place here in verse number 9. It says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Well, why would they be sore afraid if it's just the angel of the Lord? Can you look at that word Lord again, and can you tell me if that's capitalized or not? Whenever the Lord is capitalized in the Bible, it's literally talking about the Lord. Go ahead and turn your Bibles, just to give you a few brief descriptions of, if I could. Go to Genesis chapter number 22. And you will see this picture here with Abraham. Genesis chapter number 22. And we'll read verse number 9. And we'll read down to verse number 14. It says, "And when they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son." Look what takes place in verse number 11. It's almost the same wordage that you would see in the book of Luke. Verse number 11 says, "And the angel of the Lord called unto him," where? "Out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son and thine only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering instead of his son." Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3. We'll read verse number 1, and we'll read down for a few verses here. It says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb." Look what it says here. It says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." Take a look at this next verse, because this next verse is very intriguing to me. It says, "And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see," what's the next phrase? "God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I." We often see, and we talk about in Scripture, Moses saw God. First of all, no one's ever seen God face to face. They saw the angel of the Lord. That's how God would appear. Verse number 5, and he said, "Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." See, that they wouldn't do this just for any ordinary angel, because an ordinary angel is not above God. And so here it says, "Remove thy shoes from off thy feet, from the place where thou standest is holy ground." Moreover, he said, "I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Who appeared first? Verse number 2 says, "And the angel of the Lord." And we see here in verse number 6, "I am the God." So Moses hid his face, for he's so afraid, for he's afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." So that's just a brief picture of what I wanted to show you here. So as we turn back to chapter number 9, so we have God the Father, we have God the Son, and we have God the Holy Spirit. So now we have Jesus, who is at this point in time in the process of, he's going through birth, and the angel of the Lord appears to these men that are in the field. What I find intriguing about this is the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. That's almost the same, again, the same wordage that you would see back in Exodus chapter 3 when it came to Moses. You know, I don't see people normally, well, probably would not get afraid of just an ordinary angel. But when it's the angel of the Lord, there is something totally different. So we have these shepherds that are abiding in the field. The angel of the Lord gives them a message. Say, hey, Jesus is going to be born. So what do? It says unto them, fear not. Verse number 10, it says, the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you, ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now begin to think about this. We have one of the most unique things that has happened in history. A king who is capable to remove himself from his father's kingdom to come to this world as a man for this reason. For this reason particularly, and that is for you and I to accept the gift that he has to offer. And it's up to us to accept this gift. Back in December the 20th of 1946, there was a movie that came out that day, that year. That movie that came out was called It's a Wonderful Life. That movie was had one of the major actors of the time of that day, and that was James Stewart. A lot of people don't realize that James Stewart was a World War II veteran, served in the war. A lot of you folks that are of the older generation might know this, but a majority of our Hollywood actors during that time were very conservative and were very pro-America. That's not the case now. They're very liberal, and they really can't stand America. But during this movie that James Stewart starred in, and by the way, it's been showing every year since, It's a Wonderful Life. And during this movie, there are some things that took place in the life of his character. Some things weren't going his way. He had some mortgage bills that were due. And so during this process of this film, and they like to make a feel-good story, he wished his life was a little bit different, to where he wasn't having the struggles or the heartaches that he was going through. But let me say this before I go on a little further. Heartaches and struggles make who we are today. And we shouldn't want to wish those things away. They might not be comfortable or it might not be convenient for us at the time that we're going through them, but they make us who we are today. And so during this process, he gets in his car. It's snowing outside pretty bad. And he hits a bridge, and if I can remember correctly, He was thinking about jumping off the bridge. Whatever happened, some little man came to him, and he's like, I wish my life was different, just to sum it up. And so they go through this process of what life would be like if he wasn't around. And so he goes through this process, and he wasn't pleased with it because nobody knew who he was. And some other things happen. Long story short, he comes out of it. And when he comes out of it, he's so grateful for the things that he has. And begins to go back home and is very joyous and happy that he has this second opportunity in life to go on and to make things right. And really not worry about anything else. But Chad, you're talking about a movie here. Yes, for this point and this point only. Because in life, it's not like the movies. We might not get those second chances. We might not get those second chances. Especially when it comes to salvation. And I say this for a reason. Chad, you're probably speaking to all believers in here tonight. I'm going to say this. I don't know that for a fact. I really don't. I wish I could say I knew for a fact. And for this reason, I only know of my own salvation. And so with that being said, we're not necessarily guaranteed a second chance when it comes to salvation. So I urge folks that if God is speaking to your heart, that you should probably maybe think about giving in to him. Instead of fighting the battle against him over and over and over again. For this reason, he came not so that the shepherds just come by and give him gifts. That wasn't his purpose. His purpose in coming to this world was for this. He was born to die. He was born to die for this reason, so that you and I can have an eternal life with him. See, all those gifts that we have received underneath the tree for all these years, I can almost probably guarantee you a majority of our gifts that we've been given throughout the years no longer exist. They probably gotten broken along the way. We probably misplaced them. Maybe we even donated them to Goodwill or to the Salvation Army, things of that nature. And so they're really of no value to us anymore. But the greatest gift that anybody can ever receive while on this earth is the gift of Jesus Christ. And I'm grateful today that I'm able to say, God got a hold of my heart. God saved me. I was able to accept his gift. And I know before I accepted his gift, my soul was damned to hell. That's where my destination was. That's where I was going. And I was able to see my sins for what they were. My sins put the Lord upon the cross. And I was able to see that particular day of April 25th of 1986. And I was able to say, you know what, I no longer want to be bound to my sin. I don't want to be held captive to them. And I was able to call upon the Lord as my Savior. I accepted his gift that he gave me. See, for the wages of sin is what? It's death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, as I close, Christmas is not about you and I giving each other gifts. Is it nice? Yes, it's nice. But that's not what it's really about. It's about accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For unto us a son is given. He's wonderful, counselor, he's the Prince of Peace. He's everything to us. And so I hope as you gather around wherever you do it, I don't know your traditions, I just know of our traditions. Let me urge you to do this. Put Christ in Christmas. Put Christ in Christmas. Here's what we do, and I'm not telling you what to do. We sit down first and we sing some songs. It starts off kind of slow. It kind of picks up in a little bit. And after we sing some songs, we begin to go around and begin to give a little bit of testimonies of what we're thankful for. And we do those things. And then we dive right into the reading of God's Word. And then we open our gifts. But what I really appreciate, what Pastor's done in all the years that I've been around, and I'm looking forward to him doing this tomorrow night, if God gives him the voice and the strength to do so, is hearing the Christmas story once again. See, this story has a lot of value to me. I cherish it. Even though I'm almost 50 years of age, I'm still like a little kid at Christmas time. All right, Dad. Read us a story. Read us the story. And I begin to let that sink in and set in. And then I begin to just wander off a little bit and become very thankful that God gave us his son for all. Not just for us in here, but for this whole world. What a tremendous gift that he's given us. Let's have a word of prayer. Doug's going to come up here tonight, and he's going to read our missionary letter. And then once he's done, he'll dismiss us, and then we'll go across the way and set up some tables. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for coming to this world as a gift to us. You were born to die so that we may live. We thank you in your name. Amen.